Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like
it's
to share
time,
the gospel without any. I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Well, my buddy Rich just said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas.
That's the actual.
That's where we are in America. Give us Barabbas. Fired up this morning, January 30th, 2017. I'm fired up because I'm going to tell you, if you can't see what's going on now, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm telling you. If you can understand and see with your own very two eyes exactly what's going on, I don't even know what to tell you. But here's what frustrates me the most. The ones who see the least are those in the church. The ones who see the least. And if you can't see how we're being played for fools, Jared, I don't know why I got your screen up on my screen there, but I got that. It's kind of distracting to me. Maybe you can pull that thing down. The ones who are being deceived the most are the church. Church, love, 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 love. So we have to ask ourselves, I'm going to dig into some of this stuff here today with all the Muslims and them. What do they call when you love somebody, you're a file? No. Yeah. The Muslim files out there, Christians who can't wait to bring Muslims into America. We're our own greatest enemy, you know. We're our own greatest enemy. We are. Church. I have more discussions and more arguments with people who claim to be churchgoers than I ever do with the lost folks. Michael says it's an Islamophobia. Somebody loves Islam. Loves Islam. Hey, I wonder, JR, suppose Jesus is in love with Islam? Suppose he's on their side?
I'm thinking not.
I'm thinking not, huh? Because that dude, hey, he was so intolerant. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Hey, nobody comes to my daddy unless they go through me. You don't go through Muhammad, you don't go through Buddha, you don't go through Bill O'Reilly. Nobody comes to my father unless they come through me. It's what he said. In fact, his daddy also said this, I'm the Lord thy God. I shall have no other gods before me. That's what he said. And so what we want to do, we Christians, those of us who are baptized in love, we want to love the things that God hates and hate the things that God loves. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in times in which we live. I'm going to make a very bold statement. Right wing watch, Sink Unger and the Young Turks, I hope you're watching. Islam's from hell.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you this. If you think that it's good for America to bring Muslim immigrants, well, call them whatever you want to. If you think that's good for America, you lost your stinking mind. If we think that multiculturalism is a good thing, I call it cultural AIDS, by the way. We think diversity and multiculturalism is a good thing, we lost our stinking mind. But I know this. I don't know if I'd say a majority, but I'd say many Christians believe it is a good thing. They believe it is a good thing. Because why? Listen, I hate to keep hammering this horse. Wide is the way. And narrow is the gate. Broad is the way. Narrow. Many, few. Why are American Christians so hell-bent on seeing everybody get saved when that is not what the Bible teaches? Hey, I want them to be saved. I do. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. I'll say it again. Broad is the way and narrow is the gate, right? Wide is the river and narrow is the rapids. And few who find it, few who find it, few. And Jesus said that in that day there'd be many who claim to be Christians. I'm not talking about Muslims, Buddhists, hell-raising atheists. He says, many in that day will come to me and say, Lord, in your name, meaning I took your name, Lord, and in your name, I took your name, and in your name, I casted out devils. And I laid hand on the sick. I saw them recover. I paid my tithes. I voted Republican. I did everything, Lord, that you asked me to do. And the Lord says, well, tough, man. Get out of here, because I never knew you. I never knew you. And you can take my name, and you can parade up and down the streets, and you go hide inside your churches. You can act like you're a Christian all you want to, but here's the truth. I never knew you. I never knew you. Because the Bible says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll love the things that I love, and you'll hate the things that I hate. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus does not love Muhammad. Does somebody think I'm wrong? Does anybody think I'm wrong? Think Jesus loves Muhammad? The thinking that we have. So we have a whole nation of people who are not saved. Somebody give me a thumbs up. The actual, if we were to actually get down, 76% of Americans claim to be Christians. 76. If we were to get down and we do the nubbins and whittle it all out and we throw out the phonies, how many you suppose really are? If the word tells us that it's broad and it's few and it's narrow or wide and narrow, if the Bible tells us that there'll be many in that day, of that 76%, many will say, Lord, Lord, in your name, didn't we do all these great things? He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What must that number be? 76, when it gets whittled down, how many is it? How many? I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you this. There are a lot of them out there claiming the name of Jesus and they ain't going to heaven. His words, not mine. His words, not mine. I pray I'm on the road to heaven. I mean, I know in my knower that I am. But for those of you who are watching, say, well, you sure are judgmental out there, coach. You're determining who is and who isn't. I'm not determining one bit of it. I'm just telling us some of us is and some of us ain't. Somebody help me here. Somebody thumb up me so I know I'm not alone here. Some of us is and some of us ain't. And we're going to be surprised at that day when we find out who the is's are and who the ain'ts aren't. And I can tell you this. As if we need more lost people. As if America doesn't have enough lost people. We want to go bring in a bunch more lost people. We can't get the ones we know saved. We want to get all these Muslims over here. Oh, don't pay any attention to the fact that they're killing Christians over there. Maybe our true brothers and sisters. Are you ready for this? Maybe more likely to make it to heaven than you and I. Those ones they're killing over in Syria, maybe they're more likely to get to heaven than you and I. You think of that? We sit back and let them get slaughtered over there and then bring in these hellions, these believers in this pedophile. Yeah, that's what he is. Muhammad was a pedophile. Let's bring them in. You bring a guy in from Mexico, shifting gears on you a second. We let a Mexican run across this border. You think he understands our culture? Do you think he understands the American system? You bring a guy in here from Syria, you think he understands freedom and liberty and responsibility and accountability and doing things that are right, following that which is good? What? They don't even speak the language. You want to bring them in, get them saved, they don't even speak the language. You won't even get your neighbor saved. You go to some dead old church where there hadn't been a salvation or a revival in 40 years, and you want to bring in more. Somebody tell me I'm doing okay.
Hey, you know what else?
What?
And they won't take any responsibility when 30 lost souls are run over by a truck.
That's right, brother. Doesn't bother them, does it, Dylan?
Where are those lost souls going when they get run over by a truck? They don't get it.
They don't get it. Here, come over here, please. Oh, Muslims, come on over here and run us over. Well, Coach, you said not all of them are radical like that, really. Just like not all Christians are Christians, huh? And I'm going to tell you something. The bad Muslims, the ones who cut off necks, slice throats, kill homosexuals, cut off the sexual organs of women, genital mutilation, those bad Muslims, they're the good ones. They're the good Muslims, see? They're following the faith. Just like us, Christians. Good Christians and bad Christians, see? Good Christians and bad Christians. So there's good Christians, bad Christians, good Muslims, and bad Muslims. But we got it upside down. See, the good Christians, in my opinion, the good Christians are those who oppose evil, not welcome it in, accept it. Good Christians oppose it. But isn't it crazy in America, if you oppose sin and you oppose the infiltration of God-hating people from a different culture, you are the one that's not a good Christian.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
You know, Coach, in the Old Testament talks about there was a famine in the land of the preaching of the Word of God. And, mm-hmm. you know, what you're doing this morning is you're preaching the unadulterated Word of God, but you're just the fact that churches aren't preaching it today, then out of sight, out of mind, just by default, people aren't hearing it. So really it comes back to what the leadership in this nation isn't doing.
Well, George, let me even expound on that a little bit more. I don't know this to be true, but I read this somewhere that those who check for counterfeit money, the ones who really are serious about it, they study the original. They get a real dollar bill out, and they look at it, real $100 bill, and they look at all the characteristics of the dollar bill. And they know exactly what it should look like. And then when a fake one comes in front of them, they know it immediately. So they understand, they begin to identify the fake because they know the real one so well. You with me? Now, I would wonder how many people watching this show right now, those who get upset with me, those who want to call me names and think I'm insensitive and unloving, I wonder how many of them regularly read the Bible. What do you suppose the percentages of that would be? See, that's the only way that we could possibly ever think that it's loving to bring in people who want to cut off our heads. You say, well, Coach, they don't all want to do that. Well, no, but are they going to stand up and stop it? Have you seen any Muslim organization anywhere stand up and make an active attempt to try to stop the slaughter? Have you seen it anywhere? Oh, they denounce it. Hey, isn't that what politicians do? Donald Trump comes out and says something which most of the heartland agrees with. And what do the politicians do? Well, they come out and denounce it. They don't do anything about it. They just denounce it. And so we had riots here. We call it whatever you want to. We had a gathering last night at our airport here in Columbus, Ohio. I've never seen a gathering, although we have a huge Muslim population here in Columbus. Huge. First time I've seen them come out like that. But it didn't happen here. It happened in Portland, Oregon. It happened in New York City. It happened all around America. And I asked myself, how did they get organized? You would think that maybe they all had church on Sunday. You would think that everyone who supports Islam all went to church yesterday. And a play was called in the church. Wait a minute. I wonder how many Christians went to church yesterday. And I wonder what that play was that was called in their church. Because we are in a cultural war. We are in a war for the very soul of this nation. I'm just telling you. Western civilization. And we want to bring them in.
So, Coach, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
My son called me and he said, Dad, you need to watch out what you're doing on Facebook. I said, why is that? He's got a coffee company on the side, and he supports a brewery down there in Sacramento. And the owner of the brewery, because he gives them coffee, they make stout coffee beer. And the owner of the brewery put something on Facebook about being conservative and Muslim. Anyway, long story short, somebody saw that. They posted it. They came and they boycotted his brewery. So they had all kinds of signs out there, and their business went down for about the last two weeks. And my son said, "Dad, you got to watch it, man. They'll come after you." So, I mean, a small brewery, and they're out picketing it. Unbelievable.
And we won't close down Planned Parenthood. We got that great big Target there waiting on us, and we won't close it down. I want to show you a video real quickly here. I don't know if you got – I do not support this guy named Milo Yiannopoulos. Is that his name, Dylan? He's more your age. Milo Yiannopoulos, who is a homosexual.
Milo. My boy Milo.
He's a homosexual.
Yeah.
Open, flaming homosexual. Ready? Conservative homosexual. That's why, boys and girls, conservatism is pretend salt. You can't be a homosexual, can't be a practicing homosexual, and be a Christian. And we'll say it again real slow so that those of you don't understand. You can't be a practicing homosexual and be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Homosexuality is sin. See, Coach, he was born that way. Well, I know people who were born alcoholics. And they don't do it anymore. They quit it. I know men. Anybody know any men who were born horn dogs who wanted to sleep with everything they ran into? And then at some point, they began to control that urge. They don't do it anymore. Restraining of the Holy Spirit. So a person, I was born with the desire to chase women. I was born with that desire. I overcame that. I stopped that years ago. I stopped it years ago. I don't do it anymore. And you have any idea how easy that would be for me to go out right now and become a horn dog? I could sneak out on my wife. She trusts me. Sorry, honey. I could do that. No, I don't do that because I resist that, see. But we have homosexuals who we say are Christians, and they engage in sodomy, which is a crime. What's a crime? It's a crime against nature. It's a crime against the Bible. And our churches invite these guys in. Why would we be surprised when they welcome in practicing homosexuals into a congregation? Why would we be surprised when they bring in Muslims? It's clear their faith means absolutely nothing to them. Nothing. Larry's breaking me out down there. Somebody's got to get that Milo ready, Jared. We've got a phone call. Go ahead and pop him up in there, Jared.
Men are polyamorous, Coach.
Men are polyamorous. Born polyamorous, aren't they? Men are born polyamorous.
And hey, Coach, can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
One time a homosexual came up to Virginia when we were doing some counseling, and he came up to her and he told her, because he had just introduced himself, and he says, "You know, I'm a homosexual." And she said, "Oh, no, you're not. You only think you are."
Amen. There you go. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? Right, Michael?
That's it.
It's the most blatant sin that the church accepts, in my humble opinion. Now, stop there a minute, because I'm hanging off my hat. I don't hate homosexuals, but I hate what that sin does to them. I don't hate alcohol, but I hate what alcoholism does to people. I don't hate pedophiles, but I hate what they do, and when they act upon it, I hate that. I don't hate adulterers, but I hate what they do. You with me? I don't hate thieves, but I hate it when they steal.
Hey, Coach, we got a caller.
I don't hate liars. I hate it when they lie. Yeah, Larry.
We got a caller. Jim's on the line.
All right, Jim, jump in here, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed, Coach. How are you?
Angry. Righteous anger. Is this Big Jim the 7-footer from Plain City? Jim, is that you, the big 7-footer from Plain City?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that about the Islam deal. You know, the best candidate for Mystery Babylon is Mecca.
I got you.
Did you give it a thought to that? It's pretty obvious who Mystery Babylon is and who the Whore of Babylon is at the present time. It's Mecca.
Hmm. But we want to accept it, right? We want to bring it into the fold. See, we think we're going to bring them in, and we're going to miraculously lead them all to Jesus when we can't lead our neighbor to Jesus.
They are so screwed up that only God can bring them to Jesus.
A gem. I couldn't agree more. They don't understand our language. They don't understand our culture. They don't understand anything about it. And we have Christians who want to bring them in so we can evangelize them. America ain't even evangelized. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Have you ever read the end of the Quran?
You mean the last chapter? Read it to me. Yes, I have, but I don't remember it.
What it says, and I'll paraphrase it, is that the adherents of Islam are to take over the world for Allah.
Sort of like occupy till I return. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Sort of like that. Our God needs the adherence to Christianity to perform his will.
Well, no, he certainly doesn't.
But Allah does. Because Allah is.
Amen. Allah is Satan. Jim, I'm going to let you go. I got a long way to go, short time to get there. Thanks for listening, brother. Thanks for listening. Okay, listen. I don't support Milo. Okay? This is why I call myself a Christian and not a conservative. Milo and I aren't on the same team. We might be arguing. Remember Jesus said those are not against us or for us. So leave him alone. So Milo goes out and he makes the Christian argument up. Or the conservative argument. Okay, I'm cool. I'm cool with that. But Milo can be a conservative. I ain't a conservative. And Milo and I can be buddies if he comes to Jesus and stops performing that wicked sexual practice that he has. Then can two walk together unless they agree? Of course we can't. No way we can. So I got a video here. I want to play a Milo. Somebody who's never heard of him. And I want to play this because I want to show you exactly what's going on. When they had the March for Life, I haven't been able to speak to you guys since the March for Life. I don't know if you saw it, but the left's worst nightmare was at the March for Life, and it was Mia Love. Maybe you guys don't even know who Mia Love is, but she's a congresswoman from Utah who is black, a Christian, or a Mormon. I'm not sure which. She carries that name, sometimes, and pro-life. And a life experience where she raised herself up from the bottom to the top. She's the worst nightmare. See, there are certain groups that you cannot target. For instance, think about Clarence Thomas. When Clarence Thomas ran for when they tried to get him on the U.S. Supreme Court, how much other blacks and the left attacked him because he didn't fit their paradigm. So they had to get rid of him. Mia Love's in that position. So I want to show you something. Here comes, this is, remember, I've taught this before. Islam, homosexuality, and abortion are three fingers of the same fist. Three fingers of the same fist. Abortion, homosexuality, and Islam, those three things are all designed to crush Christianity. You understand that? They hang out together. They support each other. So Milo is given a pass. You know why he's given a pass? Because he's a minority. Not only is he a minority, he's an oppressed minority. Because Milo is an openly homosexual man, you can't criticize him. Just like you can't criticize a black person. Come on, be honest. You can't criticize a black person while they're a minority. You can't criticize women. Because it's patriarchy, misogyny. So I want you to watch. It's about 5 minutes here. Milo taking on two Muslim women. And they don't know what to call him. See, they can't call him names because they don't know what to call him. Hey, guys, we can do this too. If we just don't care what they call us, we can do this too. So this is 5 minutes of Milo. Again, I'm not a Milo lover. But I want you to see the irony of a homo taking on the Muslims. They're on the same team, supposed to be. They're supposed to be on the same team. Destroy Christianity, Muslims, abortion, homosexuality. Go ahead, Jared. Play Milo here for us.
Anyway, like any set of ideas, Islam is like a religion. Any set of ideas, it deserves to be scrutinized. Well, I have scrutinized it, and I have found it wanting. I have found it lacking. Everywhere there is Islam, you will find women oppressed. Everywhere there is Islam, you will find... You're wearing a hijab in the United States of America. What is wrong with you? You see, they want to shout you down by saying, oh, what about me? I'm not so oppressed. Well, let's move on from women if you don't care about female genital mutilation, don't care about forced marriages, don't care about acid thrown in the faces of your Islamic sisters. If you don't care about any of those things, fine. Let's talk about gays instead. In 12 Islamic countries, I could be killed for my sexuality. Is that okay? People, 100 million people live in countries where it is illegal to be homosexual. All of those countries are Islamic. This is not an ISIS thing. You know, you will see gays being thrown off the roof in ISIS-controlled territories. But this has nothing to do with terrorism. This is mainstream Muslim culture. Your religion does it everywhere your religion exists. It is a threat, an existential threat to gay people. Everywhere in the world there is Islam, you will find women oppressed, homosexuals murdered, you will find gang rape. Now, there's a unique phenomenon that it doesn't really exist outside of Islamic cultures, of familial gang rape, where fathers, brothers, and cousins go out raping people together. It happened in Rotherham in the UK. And the liberal establishment in the UK didn't investigate this because, according to a government report, not a far right-wing blog, according to a government report, 1,400 young girls were raped in racially or religiously, as you choose to define it, motivated crimes, because both the police and the authorities were too scared of being called racist to intervene. And this pattern repeats itself everywhere there is mass Muslim immigration. My suggestion to you, America, is that you don't need it here. Learn your lesson from 9/11. Learn your lesson from Orlando. The socially regressive, see, they walk out and they don't like the facts. The socially regressive attitudes. These socially regressive attitudes of Muslims in the West are horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. The surveys show that 52% of British Muslims think that my sex life should be made illegal. 39% of them. Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving? Don't you want to talk about numbers? Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed of the hateful culture that surrounds your religion, that oppresses women and murders homosexuals and commits unspeakable acts of terrorism? Are you ashamed of it? Would you like to talk to us about why there's no global Muslim peace movement? Because I hear lots of very upset people at my talks complaining about statistics they can't refute. I don't hear a lot of Muslims standing up against terrorism. Or whether it is some of the Islamic hate crime hoaxes we've been seeing more recently. And these happen with alarming frequency. In fact, my research team has struggled to find a supposed hate crime against Muslims on an American college campus that did not turn out to be fake. I'll tell you about some of them. One student at the University of Louisiana admitted her attack was completely fabricated. She made the whole thing up because Trump supporters attacking a Muslim woman is simply believable to liberals fed a steady diet of hate by fake news. This is a rare instance of the lying media actually admitting that one of its cherished hate crimes was a hoax. Normally they just move on quickly and never mention it again. Yasmin Sawi, just 18 years old in New York City, made up a similar story. She said three men called her a terrorist and attacked her, telling her to get out of the country. Again, it was fake. but you won't read the corrections. You only read the outrage. And here's a brand new one that can't be blamed on Trump supporters because it took place in Austria. A 14-year-old girl claimed she was attacked and that evil white men tried to rip off her hijab on a train. The police revealed it to be a complete fabrication as well. And a little closer to home. Oh, we're still having trouble at the back.
Three down.
I think if you take the second left, the airport is just Actually, no, we don't want them there, do we? It's a bit of a problem, actually. I hadn't really thought this through.
See what he did? He did a masterful job of using his minority status to go after them, and there wasn't anything that they could say or do about it. See? Now, my question for us is, why is Milo so bold and we're so afraid? Why is that? And why is it that Milo is traveling America giving these type of talks, and if the average pastor did it from his pulpit, people would be horrified? Can somebody explain that to me? Pastor Tim, can you help me with that one? Why is that?
You know, Coach, I haven't got a clue. Because I'm not one of them. I don't think that way, so I have no idea.
What do you think, Rich?
He's more proud of his homosexuality than Christians are of their beliefs.
That's exactly right. Hey, Dylan, he's your age. He's your age group. What do you think, man? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's I think, you know, if you remove, you know, the homosexual element from him for a second, I think he just has understood and learned that you can get called all the names in the book and it doesn't mean anything. I think a lot of people just sit there and they don't want to be called racist, bigot. And he's kind of learned that that's what they're going to call anybody who disagrees with them, and it doesn't matter, and just state the facts.
Or as
I think a lot of pastors and Christians don't know the facts too.
Yeah. He certainly was able to hit them with facts, and they didn't like it. They got up and walked out, right? But I made a video a few years ago. Maybe I ought to get that one ready for us here at some point. And I said this, hey, Rich, we embrace the hate. Embrace it, all right? Embrace it. Don't run from it.
Hey, Coach.
As soon as they start calling us haters, we go silent and stand up and say, absolutely, I hate it. Yes, I do. I hate homosexuality and what it does to people. I hate it. I hate the way that it destroys families. I hate homosexuality and the fact that it leads men to an early death. I hate homosexuality and that it destroys parents and families. I hate homosexuality. Why do we run from it? Why don't we embrace the hate? Go ahead, Larry.
You know, you asked the question, why does Milo speak out and why is he so bold and the church isn't? It's because the church is the fourth finger of that fist you held up a while ago.
Boy, you hate to admit that, don't you? It is. And why are they the fourth finger? Is it intentional? Is it just ignorance? That's something else we can dive into. Yeah, Mike, I can see you busting your pants there.
Yeah, the thing is that Islam, they do practice homosexuality. They don't tell you about it because they've even some of our soldiers have reported that there's a lot of homosexuality in Afghanistan that goes on, and they do practice homosexuality with young boys and girls. And also, you know, during the Second World War with the Nazis were very oriented towards homosexuality with that whole Aryan race.
Right.
And what kind of did they have? They had Islamic forces in their SS training stuff. It's all in history. It's there. People will open their eyes and listen. And I don't understand why a preacher can't stand up on a Sunday morning and tell people the history of what is really going on. That's the key. If you tell history and tell good stories, you got them. You got people wrapped up around things. That's the problem. Nobody wants to tell the truth.
You know, Michael, I spoke at the church yesterday. My buddy Pastor Tom wasn't feeling well and invited me. I said this. I have a tremendous gift of communication. You all would agree with that. It's a gift I have. Doesn't make me special. And I said, you know, I could have made a really good living just by being a motivational speaker. Just going out and blowing smoke up people's hinds end. I could have made, I'm telling you, I could have done it. But I couldn't do that. I can listen. I can tell a story about a cat that would make a dog cry. The Lord has given me the ability to be able to do that. But I don't want to prostitute the gift. I want to lift up the Lord and declare, as I said in church yesterday, that not only is God love, Jesus is truth, and the two together. And why Christians, see, what they're calling them alternative facts. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. Kelly Conway called it alternative facts, and people got upset. Well, here's what alternative facts are. Here's how alternative facts work. I stand up and I say abortion is murder. It's murder. And we got to stop murdering babies. And it's black genocide. What's that word I'm looking for? It's trying to destroy the black race. I can make all that point. And then the other side comes with their fake alternative facts. And what's their alternative facts? How many babies that are born out of wedlock are in poverty, and how much a woman who has to raise a baby when she's a teenager, how much that costs her in regards of education, and on and on and on. And all of these alternative facts that are facts, but ain't got nothing to do with the argument. And as our friend Chad would say, alternative facts are designed to drive you emotionally. Well, you want to make a woman who's raped have a baby? That isn't even the question. The question is, does a woman have a right to kill the baby? But they produce alternative facts that are true, but not germane. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Questions, I said it the other day. Is a baby alive, and do we have the right to kill? Just answer those two questions, and all this other bullcrap goes away. And if in America a woman doesn't want to have a baby, then she ought to have to sign papers and adopt it out. There are people who take babies. Why is abortion an option? I don't know how I got on that. Alternative facts are killing us. Alternative facts are killing us in the church. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we bring in another religion that ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. And then we call ourselves a Christian nation. Well, we're a Christian nation. We welcome all times. Well, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. But it's his house, Amos 3. Go there, Jared. Amos 3. Here you go, right in the heart of multiculturalism. Thank you. Old Testament, old mean God was speaking back then. Amos 3. Let's do verse 1. Amos 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. I'm going to stop right there. JR, do you get the significance of that? You only have, this is the word of the Lord spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Pretty clear, isn't it, Rich? There it is. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. Stay with me. 3. Can a Christian and a Muslim walk together if they don't agree? Can a Christian and a Muslim live according to the U.S. Constitution if they don't agree who's at the head of it? Hey, Tim, it's pretty simple stuff. You have to be real smart to figure this out. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth when no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth, have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be an evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Hey, boys, there's freedom of religion in America. But I got to tell you this. The only reason there's freedom of religion in America is because Christianity, Christian beliefs were the underpinning of the republic that we live in. And no other religion is allowed to come in and put their version of law above that of this nation. If they want to do that, they can stay in their own country. And if Muslims want to come here, then they're going to come here and they're going to follow the laws of America. They're going to do that, right? That can two walk together unless they agree? And what are they trying to give us? Multiculturalism. They want us to believe Muslims and atheists and Christians are all on the same, we're all on the same level. I reject that. I openly and wholeheartedly reject that. Can a Christian and a Muslim walk together? I don't think they can. Mike?
I believe there's also a law on the books that says Sharia law is not allowed in America.
But it's here, though, Mike.
Yeah,
I know. It's creeping into our courts.
Because we've gotten weak-kneed and shaky about what we believe and what we are for. And that's what that's our problem. We don't talk about what we are.
We don't have the stones that Milo has. We don't have the stones, man.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
My wife asked me, and she was confused. She says, why are the skinheads bothering the Christians at the abortion clinic? And I looked at her and I said, because the doctor's doing their work for them. They want to protect that doctor's right to kill black children.
This ain't hard, is it, Rich?
How much clearer can it be?
This ain't hard. This isn't hard. So you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. And Michael, we're not knowing the truth. We're not hearing the truth in our churches. We're not hearing the truth.
Margaret Sanger was pretty clear when she founded Planned Parenthood. Stop those blacks from having all those babies.
Hey, Larry, you always correct me. So, Larry, point this out for me. Is this not a New Testament principle? Jared, go back up there to Amos where you were. Back up verse 1. Larry, isn't this exactly what we've been arguing, that Jesus doesn't love everybody? You have you only have I known of all the families of the earth. That's the word of the Lord.
God is very selective. He desires for everybody to come into the family. Many are called, but God chooses the few who are obedient.
Broad and narrow, wide and narrow, broad, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, Jared, pull up there on the screen the one that says Liberal Translation Guide. This is a good chuckle. It's a good time to bring this thing in here today. Hey, JR, you know what I wish we could do right now? I wish I had 100,000 people to go to the airport. And why don't I? We just had meetings. We had meetings all across America yesterday at churches. That would be hateful, wouldn't it? We would be hating those Muslims. Wouldn't be very Christ-like to not welcome them in. This is good. I saw this on the internet. Somebody sent it to me from a guy named John Hawkins. You ready? Here's how they've changed the words and what they're doing to us. It says it's difficult to understand what liberals really mean. So with that in mind, here's a liberal translation guide that will help you understand what liberals are really saying to you. Number one, a peaceful protest. No liberals were hurt while throwing bricks through windows, demanding death to pigs, or getting together in large gangs to waylay small, lone counter-protesters from behind. That's a peaceful protest, too. Voter suppression. Voter suppression means cutting into Democratic vote totals by taking any steps to prevent voter fraud. That's voter suppression. Number three, the Constitution. Well, liberals would say that's an outdated, irrelevant document that should be ignored unless you are claiming that some liberal agenda item is guaranteed by it, despite the fact that no one noticed it for 200 years. for a fascist. That's when people who want to cut government, who want to cut spending, when they abide by the Constitution and get the government off of your back. That's called fascism today. Five, we want the government out of our bedrooms. What that really means is we want the government out of our bedrooms right after they force the Pope to buy us birth control and promise to support our children if we decide not to use the IUD suggested by the Pope, because who does that guy think he is, right? Wayne's got 2 Corinthians 6. Somebody remember that. 2 Corinthians 6 through 14. We'll get that here in a minute. Greedy. People who want to make money they've earned instead of giving it to people who don't work as hard but do vote for Democrats. 7. Sexism. Sexism is disagreeing with Hillary Clinton, opposing the abortion of female babies, or being against mentally ill men being allowed to use the bathroom with women. That's sexism. Radical position. That's a relatively popular non-liberal position that has been around as long as anyone can remember, that liberals have recently decided to oppose almost entirely to make themselves appear more sensitive. An example, refusing to change the name of the Redskins or believing you can't change genders via surgery is a radical position. If you believe having a baby and staying home and taking care of them, like Elizabeth Johnson, you're radical. An angry white male is any white guy who votes for the Republicans. Now, Wayne put that up there for me. What was that, Wayne? 2 Corinthians 6, I think he said. Let's see what he. Let's see where Wayne's taking us. 2 Corinthians 6, 10 through 14, I think it said. Am I in the right spot, Wayne? Shoot that up there for me again. Make sure I got the right spot. 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making money, making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hey, Rich, are those Muslims believers? All right, Wayne straightened me out. He says, Coach, it's 14 through 18. That's where we are right now. Thanks, Wayne. Here we are. Hey, for all of you who want to bring the Muslims over here, huh? All of you want to bring them over here. What do you do with this, Christians? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath Christianity with Islam? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Muhammad? Or what part hath he that believeth with a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You're the temple of it. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He is saying right there, what do you as a Christian have in common with a Muslim? Don't hang with them. Am I wrong there? Huh? No. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't bring them over here. We've done that already, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wow. Thanks, Wayne.
Absolutely. That doesn't apply only to the Christian-Muslim relationship.
Amen.
It kind of puts the kibosh on a, quote, seeker-friendly fellowship, too.
That goes from Islam to the church to the family.
It does, brother.
That speaks not just to Islam, all the way down to the family.
Rich, it's horizontal. It's horizontal. You don't have anything to do with Muslims if you're a Christian. You don't have anything to do with the unbelievers if you're a Christian. It's very clear. It's very clear. And we are seeing churches inviting in those who serve and worship another God. And why do they do that? So we can convert them. Hey, guys, they're coming to convert us. They're coming to convert us. Say, Coach, you sound like a Islamophobe. No.
All those protesters at all those airports, their purpose is to convert us, to make us change our minds, to make us stop doing what we've been doing. And they're in the process of physically trying to force and convert us through their protests.
That's why I'm Christophile. A Christophile. You got what I'm saying? I love Jesus, and I hate Muhammad, and I love the followers of Jesus, and I resist the followers of Muhammad. I'm sorry, boys. That's what this board teaches. Yeah, Mike.
Like I said, it's history. Nobody teaches history. The history of Islam is terrible. You've got to and look at all three of the books that surround Islam, the core teachings of Muhammad, the core teachings of what they do in life. That is what is coming on us. Is that approach to life that they have is death. And we are living in a culture of death here when we should be waking ourselves up to what life is all about. That's, you know, that Margaret Sanger, Hillary Clinton, that's one of her favorite women. And what did we want to do? All of the thousands or millions of people that wanted to vote Hillary in? Come on now. It's the whole culture of death versus life.
Amen. So let me throw this one out there for you, boys. We're so worried about all the non-believers. Do we have an obligation to protect the non-believers here from the non-believers who want to come and cut off their heads? Huh? Do we have a responsibility to do that? Should we stand up and say, hey, listen, those of you who don't believe in Jesus, we're here to tell you that Islam wants to cut off your head, therefore we're going to protect you and not let them in. I'm going to end it with this. We've seen this before, but I think it's important for us to say it again. I want to play this video on Muslim demographics. Because we let them in, they're going to outbreed us to death. They are going to take over America through sheer breeding. While Christians are killing their offspring, Muslims are multiplying. This is about 7 minutes long. You've seen it before, but I think it's appropriate. We watch it right now. Go ahead, Jared. The world is changing, the screen says. The global culture... our children inherit will be vastly different than what it is today, the global culture. These are words on the screen I'm reading. You are about to witness a report on the changing world's changing demographic.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? immigration, Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic.
The numbers!
In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe, without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
All right, brothers. That's sobering.
Isn't that video about 5 to 7 years ago?
made in 2007, I believe. It's longer than that, so we're 10 years behind that thing right now. And I just sent an email to Elizabeth Johnson and said, Elizabeth, please make a video on using the womb as a weapon. If we don't start having babies, I can't believe that the church can't see it. I just can't believe that the church can't see that we are bringing in people who are already committed to their religion. They don't even read the language. They don't speak the language. And we think that we're going to bring them in and convert them. Well, what a great fallacy. Hey, tune in tomorrow. We're going to have more stuff, man. More stuff. Time for us to wake up. Time for us to wake up, make a stand. Hey, Rich, the battle's coming to us, brother. It's coming to us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.